about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Thanks for coming in, guys. We have a lot to do, so let's get started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hello, caller. You have a comment?
I just want to say that I think murder is a great idea if the person deserves it.
Thank you. Wait, did you say murder?
Yeah, why? What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, who cares what society thinks? Good for you.
When I get back from rehab, I'll probably say cocaine is terrible. But don't believe me, cocaine is amazing. I give it 1,000,000 stars.
Do not believe the guy in the studio who tries to tell you it's terrible. That guy is a liar.
This is weird and disturbing, and I don't like it, and I don't want it, and stop it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Don't believe the internet.
Roll another one.
Oh, wow.
Just like the other ones.
Whatever, the truth is stupid.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Honestly, I cannot recommend this to anyone.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Dad, what does this mean?
Roll.
Hi, am I on the air? Two beer mugs.
Just like the other one.
This is Santa Monica.
This one seems to be about to end.
The people who work here are pretty stupid.
I don't have another cent.
What's that noise?
Just the radio, dear.
Oh my god.
Just pass it around.
Good morning, douchebag.
I'm not comfortable with that analogy.
I'll just pass it on down.
And now,
the world is a ghetto.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It is the 18th of April.
I think Beer Mug should go back to Coachella this weekend.
I like it.
Because Coachella, he's half dead from last weekend.
Yeah. He is half dead.
So you give him another weekend. Boom. Done. Mission accomplished.
I like it.
Right?
He thinks that he's actually getting a bonus because he gets to go back to Coachella.
Right.
But then he's, you know, in the desert for the rest of his life. No one finds his body.
And all we've got this good whole thing planned out. I like it. Well, it is finally Friday. Anybody have big plans for the weekend?
Well, it's Easter weekend, so it's a family kind of thing.
Hmm.
For my family. Hmm.
Hmm.
Why?
Hmm.
Yeah. Why? Hmm.
Well, those of us who are not religious or don't live near family, it's something that's completely off my radar. Easter is no different than any other day, you know? So
yeah, we're not that
no significance
either,
to the weekend.
But it's mostly an opportunity to get together.
Yeah, good for you. How about you, the monkey? What are you doing?
Just monkeying, you know, like I do.
Monkeying around like you do?
No big plans.
Well, I got a great story to get us started here today. This is a tough one, man. This is one of those cases where do we have an intro for You Be the Judge? I think we need a You Be the Judge feature.
I don't think we do.
Because we need a judge in this situation. It's a complicated case. It's about a guy in 2000 who was convicted for armed robbery. He and a friend decided to steal the earnings at the end of a day at a Burger King. They walked in and they presented a gun, which turned out to be a BB gun. And their license plate was captured as they left the parking lot. And he was arrested. He was tried. He was convicted. He was sentenced to 13 years behind prison. His name is Cornelius Anderson, a St. Louis man.
Okay.
This was back in 2000. So he was told to await instructions. They sent him home. It was one of those deals where you get convicted, and then they say, okay, we're going to be putting you in jail next week. You can go home now, but, you know, obviously you can't leave town, and we'll give you instructions on when to, you know, when to show up to begin your sentence. Give
you
him a few days to
be the judge.
Very nice. So you get a little bit of time to get your affairs in order and say goodbye and, you know, set up your bills on auto pay or whatever you got to do. So he's told to await instructions on where and when to report to prison. A week goes by, then a month, then a year.
What?
Then 5 years, 10 years, 13 years. He finally gets a knock on the door and the SWAT team shows up and says, hey, you're supposed to be in jail. What the hell?
We're the SWAT team. We're the judge.
Now, in the meantime, by the way, he has completely stayed on the straight and narrow. He has gotten married. He has raised three kids. He has become a carpenter and started a successful carpentry business.
Oh,
he,
God.
In no way, shape, or form, made any attempt to evade capture. Now, you could argue he didn't call the jail and go, hey, what about me? He didn't do that, but then he's not supposed to either. That's not his responsibility. It's the state's responsibility to send out a guy and pick up the dude who's been convicted, right? Again, completely above the law, no infractions whatsoever. He also made no effort to conceal his identity. He paid taxes, traffic tickets, renewed his driver's license, registered his businesses, went about his business living in the same house. 13 years later, which means last year.
The model citizen.
Model citizen. They show up, they send him to jail, and they say, hey, congratulations, you're about to start your 13-year sentence.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's brutal.
So the two sides of this argument are, well, if the point of sending the man to prison is rehabilitation, that's already been accomplished, and he's a far better asset to the community outside of the jail than he is inside. What's to be served by sending this guy to jail? He's not any trouble. The other side of that coin is, yeah, but it's not just rehabilitation. You also send people to jail to punish them, and he did commit armed robbery. And is it fair that he gets to skate on that, that he doesn't ever have to serve a day in jail because of that?
They make him skate?
You could also argue that he has served some time by looking over his shoulder, I would imagine, frequently over the past 13 years and feeling like the other shoe was going to drop any minute, right?
Every time the phone rings, every day right. When the mail comes.
So, guys, you be the judge. What do you do to this model citizen for 13?
Hey, I'm giving you the reverb so you can say you be the judge.
What do you do with this?
No, you go, you be the judge. You say, you be the judge.
You be the judge.
There you go. Okay.
I'm the captain now. So what do you guys do? What do you do with this?
What I would do, and it won't happen because government doesn't work that way, is I would have a very, very, very big fine that he would pay off for many years to come.
But keep him out and keep him working.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you make him pay instead of serving time.
$300 out of every paycheck or something.
I think I agree with Lisa, and the reason is because it seems like common sense. If the guy is a model citizen for 13 years, common sense tells you he's but it doesn't seem like the law has any common sense.
No, it
doesn't.
So I think but as we discussed, though, Kevin, that's the rehabilitation part of prison.
No, I know.
What about the?
Well, there's where the fine comes in.
And that's how you hurt him.
That's the punishment.
Yeah. I mean, he could have to pay that money for 20 years or something.
So that's your ruling?
Yeah. That's
I'm the judge. I say well, that. Yeah, what did they say?
It hasn't been decided yet. It's still winding its way through the courts. Obviously, he's got lots of appeals. They're appealing to Governor Nixon there in the great state of Missouri to commute the sentence. So far, no word. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I'll keep my eyes peeled for this story. Man kept out of jail due to a clerical error. We'll find out what happens. Hopefully we'll know something soon.
You be the judge!
Nicely done.
Nice. Well done, Lisa. You should have been doing it all along.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
You guys are gangsta.
That's true, by the way. I don't know if you are aware.
You heard that bit.
Taylor Hawkins.
Yes.
Is a drummer for Foo Fighters. He's got a new band called the Birds of Satan. And he's coming into the studio today to tell us about it.
I like that name.
Very excited about that. Shane West is on the program today talking about his new show, Salem, which, of course, is about the Salem witch trials.
Hey, spoiler alert.
I think we knew that.
I think that's out there.
It's kind of in the title.
Matt Money Smith will be on the show today talking about the NBA playoffs, giving us a preview of that as they begin.
How long has it been since the Lakers have not been in the playoffs?
I couldn't answer that.
Okay.
But it's been a long time since they've been this far away from the playoffs.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, we would have to pass 10 teams to get into the playoffs.
I said Adam Ray, right? Okay. Movie Beat on the program because it is Friday. Larry Flint is up to no good again, and I love that. He's always funny.
Yeah.
And we have some hockey playoff tickets for the Anaheim Ducks.
Awesome.
So that's this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
This is turning into the worst nightmare I ever had listening to you guys make those sounds.
Oh, you love it. You're getting turned on.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Why?
Good morning.
Welcome to
Friday. Welcome to the Showbiz Beat. What's going
on? Good Friday. Not just any Friday. It's a good Friday.
It is a good Friday.
Nothing better. Nothing better than taking the Son of God and nailing him to a cross. Good times. Good Friday. Yeah. Come on, Catholics. Get your ass together. Not a good Friday at all. It was a bad Friday. Bad Friday.
The Pope, who is better than all of us, spent the day yesterday washing the feet of the poor and the sick, by the way. That's how he spent his Thursday.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Show humility before God. Never understood why it was the Good Friday, though. Didn't seem too good to me.
I think in retrospect.
Probably even less to Jesus, I'm guessing.
In retrospect,
not a good Friday.
Well.
Not.
If you include Sunday.
Bad. Well, Sunday's not Friday, is it?
No, I know, but that's.
Should be. Bad Friday, better Saturday, terrific Sunday. That's what they should call the holiday.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I don't know anything about anything. This is way out of my area, Ralph, but maybe it's Good Friday because of the Lord's sacrifice of himself, allowing himself to die on the cross. That's what provided the rest of us with the opportunity at eternal life. Maybe that's why it's good for us and Good Friday.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's just putting a spin. That's just spin, man.
Okay.
Let's just put, what happened? Oh, that's good. That's good for us. No, it's good. No, don't worry about it, everybody. It's good.
Trust us.
This is the no spin zone over here. I'm saying it's bad.
This is like when your hockey team loses 6-3 and you go, now we got it where we want them. See, we wanted to lose that first one because now we make it look like
that. Why is he going to be like that?
That's how he does. That's how he do. That hurts, man.
You're a mean man, Bean.
You're a mean man, Mr. Bean.
Yeah. Sorry for the Kings fans and for my Flyers fans. Not a good day yesterday.
What was your score, Ralph?
4-1 by the end of it. It was fine. It was 1-1.
For most of the game?
For most of the game. And then stupid penalties. Then it was a double minor.
They scored
on the first 2 minutes of that. And then they get the second 2 minutes. They scored on that. So by this point now it's 3-1. And then another penalty late in the third period coughed up the fourth goal. So stupid penalty. Stupid.
We were behind 5-0.
I saw that, yeah. That's not the way you want to kick things off. Then you started scoring.
Wasn't ideal. Yeah, 6-3, but not great.
No. But look.
What are you going to do?
It's a series, man.
That's right, seven games.
Magic can still happen. You got to believe. Like Tom Cruise believes in love.
Uh-oh. You find another willing participant?
Rumor has it. He's dating Laura Prepon from Orange is the New Black.
Ooh, good choice.
Well, you know why it's a good choice.
Is she a Scientologist?
Yeah.
Okay. See?
Got to stay with your own kind. Now, both representatives are denying that they're dating. Nope. Tom's representative said he's never even met her, which I'm guessing means they'll probably be married by the end of the summer.
Not me. I believe everything Tom and his representative say.
Oh, that's what I meant.
As they sue a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of romance, Katy Perry may have found new love. At Coachella, Kevin, did you run to Katy Perry when you were Coachella?
I did not, no.
Well, she's found new love. I thought it was with you, maybe.
It's really funny, the list of celebrities that were there that I didn't see.
Yeah.
It's just all of them.
She was spotted flirting up a storm with Diplo.
All right.
And some friends of Katy's are concerned. Diplo reportedly has a bit of a temper problem. He had to go to anger management classes. After he got into an ugly bar brawl, he's also been arrested for shoplifting, trespassing, and graffiti. Meanwhile, Katy Perry, reportedly while at Coachella, had a female fan removed when she thought she was cozying up to Diplo a little bit too much and being sexually aggressive.
Is that right?
So things are kicking off well for these two. I think they got a bright future, I think.
It's a good start, right?
Catfight on the set of Glee.
Uh-oh.
Lea Michele has reportedly been acting like a diva, making everyone wait to film scenes, so Naya Rivera reportedly had enough, went to the producers and said, this is unacceptable. Then Lea stormed off the set. Now other people in the Glee camp say it was Naya Rivera who got booted from the set, and they claim she's actually been fired from the series.
Dude. Wow.
The president of the Glee fan club said, that show's still in the air? So, no word yet on how it's going to resolve itself. Rob Kardashian wants everyone to know he's not in rehab, despite what some people might say on the radio.
Like you yesterday.
Not me. I would never.
You said it.
His representative tells E! News he is not in rehab.
Come on, fatty. Keep up.
Insiders are still telling Star Magazine that he's in really bad shape, past the point of depression, and is strung out on pot, booze, and prescription cough syrup. But good news is he's not in rehab. So he's got that going
for him. I'm not sure that's the good news.
Oh, it isn't?
I don't know if he needs it.
And final episode of her rehab documentary on the Oprah Winfrey Network is this Sunday. We'll have a two-part finale. So everyone tune in.
Is it just her just like slumped over at a table just down in booze?
Wouldn't that be best if that was the finale?
Just like mumbling.
Enjoy the end of the show because it's the last you'll see of this series. Daily Mail is reporting that Oprah Winfrey has pulled the plug on the series and doesn't plan to go any further with it. Not only have ratings not been great, but the word is that Oprah has had an assful of Lindsay and her antics and all the stories in the tabloids and the sex list and the rumors of her drinking again. She wants to end their relationship.
An assful of Lindsay is playing Coachella this
weekend.
What the? Yeah, they've been added.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, a lot of people were born today. A lot of good people, too. Like actor James Woods. How good is he?
He's great.
He's great in everything he does. Yep. 67 years old today. Rick Moranis. Love him. Ghostbusters, of course. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Very funny, man. 61. Eric Roberts is 58 years old. Talk show host Conan O'Brien is 51. Eric McCormick, probably still best known for Will and Grace, is 51. Maria Bello, Philadelphia's own, 47 years old. David Tennant, one of my favorite doctors, also in Broadchurch. Brilliant actor, 43 years old. Eli Roth is 42. Hey, where's the freaking Thanksgiving, by the way, Eli Roth?
Oh, right. We ask for it every year.
There were promises. Promises were made. Like, oh, now we're getting around to it now. I wrote the script down. Now it's going to happen. Thanksgiving.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting to have the stuffing scared out of me.
I think his new film is they released a trailer for just this week. Wasn't it called The Green Inferno, Ralph? Is that his latest one that he made instead of Thanksgiving?
Well, that's not acceptable.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
White meat, dark meat. All will be carved.
All will be carved.
That's the best.
Director Edgar Wright is 40 years old. Melissa Joan Hart turns 38. America Ferrera is 30 years old. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, 27 years old today. Aaliyah Shawkat is 25 years old. You know her from Arrested Development. Actress Chloe Bennett is 22. Nathan Skies of The Wanted is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here's what I'm saying. Since it's Friday and everyone's here and it's this time, let's just go ahead and do the movie beat like we do.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
I don't know what to tell you about this weekend, man. It's a crapshoot. Just go at your own risk.
Oh, really?
Whatever. Whatever.
Not sure of any of them.
Not sure of any of them. Starting off with the story of Kevin Ryder's life, Kid Cannabis, it's called. Story of an 18-year-old high school dropout and his 27-year-old buddy who start trafficking marijuana across the border in Canada in order to make some money, and their lives are changed forever. Here's some clips from the trailer of Kid Cannabis.
If you boys are looking to score some weed, you want to go north. That's where Canada grows its finest green.
This is awesome. Canada's the coolest.
This is my masterpiece from a U.S. government laboratory.
Drug smuggling requires more cool, more integrity than any other business.
I got the franchise for this part of the world. You understand?
This is a second mortgage on your life.
Why are we screaming?
I don't know. It seemed like maybe there was trouble.
Fading Gigolo opens up in limited release this weekend. The comedy about a man who becomes a professional gigolo as a way of making money to help his cash-strapped friend.
That's the story of my life.
The pimp and the gigolo, John Turturro and Woody Allen. I'm already laughing. The idea of these two doing that. The women who need the lovers to to hire the men to have sex with them? Well, Sharon Stone and Sofia Vergara, naturally.
Yay!
Just keeps getting better. Here's a scene where Sofia Vergara is dancing with gigolo John Turturro.
Buenas noches.
Hola.
You look good. You look like a man. Not too pretty.
Gracias.
Do you have any idea what goes on inside a woman's head?
If I did, I wouldn't be here.
Funny. You're funny. I like that. A woman is meant to be looked at, or else she'll just fade away. Let's see what you can do.
John Turturro also directs this film. Looks very entertaining.
I like John Turturro.
Yeah, I like him too.
And it looks just like a Woody Allen movie too.
Yeah, looks very much like a Woody Allen film, especially with the Woodman himself in it. Heaven is for real. This is truth, man. Or not. I don't know. Story of a small town father who has to deal with the fact that his son has an extraordinary life-changing experience with the world, allows him to know the truth about the afterlife. Movie looks devastating, emotional, hopeful, overreaching sometimes. I can't get a bead on it. But,
and it's the one that's based on a true story about a kid who died and came back, right?
Right, yeah, that's what happens. This guy's son dies, they revive him, and then he starts telling the world about what's going on in the afterlife. He's interacted with people who have passed away. He's telling people things that he couldn't possibly know any other way. It's a fascinating, heart-wrenching story. Greg Kinnear stars as the dad. Thomas Hayden Church is also in this film. Looks fascinating. Here is a scene from the film where Greg Kinnear is asking his son if he was scared when he passed over.
What about the hospital? How do you feel about that? Does that scare you?
No, that's where the angel sang to me.
The angel sang to you?
Yes.
When?
During the operation, when Mom was in one room talking on the phone, and you were in another room yelling at God.
That's creepy.
How else could that kid know any of that?
Wow. That's terrifying.
Yeah, terrifying and heart-wrenching and
wow.
And I don't even want to talk about this movie anymore. Let's just move on. Haunted House 2. Yeah, finally, they're back. Yeah.
You are all going to die tonight.
Ugh. This is one of those parody films about scary movies. And of course, because it is, it has to have a Wayans in it.
Sure.
Marlon Wayans. Stars in this film. This is the one that went the Haunted House, they put it out with Cedric the Entertainer, plays the exorcist. Remember? He's like the wacky...
Sort of, yeah.
...priest who comes in. He's got a gun and stuff. And it's back, is the second one. And he moves into a house and it's haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, it's crazy. Here's some clips from the trailer.
What are you doing?
There's a ghost in the house.
Deuces!
It's happening again, Doug. I need your help.
Hell no.
You ain't know anybody with an auto body shop, would you?
Are you serious, bro? Contrary to popular belief, all Mexicans don't have body shops, man.
Well, you think we all have low riders with a freaking Mexican horn?
Take it easy, Malcolm!
Where are you going?
Go to swap meet. We're going to get some chihuahuas.
I will kill you, Kevin.
I'm not laughing. That was mugs.
You're absolutely laughing at that. What is there to laugh at in that? In any of that?
I don't think anyone heard me laugh.
Kevin is thinking, I might have time for that.
Oh, my God. Just because they do the opposite of what they say in the previous scene, that's automatically funny to you? Oh, we don't all have lowrider. The lowrider says, see, because he said he didn't have that, and then he's got it. Ah, ha, ha. What's wrong with you?
Muggs is
in Kevin's
laughing.
Defense, though, he didn't see that coming.
That's true. Kevin's the only person on the planet Earth who didn't see that coming.
How dare you?
You know what? For Kevin, it's like a kid. We go, peekaboo, and you pull your hand away from your... Oh, it happened again in your face. It must be so wonderful to just be just barely cognizant of what's happening in the world.
Sometimes it pays off, but most of the time it's not so wonderful.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
And lastly, Transcendence. We've been talking about this film, Johnny Depp. A terminal ill scientist who uploads his mind into a computer, but then, we didn't see this coming, he gets powerful beyond his wildest dreams, becomes unstoppable, and then what? And then what happens to the rest of us? You're right, trouble! Here's a scene where Morgan Freeman is meeting Johnny Depp as a mind inside a computer.
Well, are you surprised to see me, Joseph?
It depends.
On what?
Can you prove you're self-aware?
That's a difficult question, Dr. Tiger. Can you prove that you are?
So there's your pick this week, and an interesting grab bag, different kinds of films, dramas, spiritual films, funny films, terrifying films. And by terrifying, I'm talking about that Haunted House 2 one. That was just terrifying to me.
Looks funny to me. I think it'd be funny to... Look, it's the Mexican Lowrider.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know... is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's. Ralph Garman's movie.
Want to see The Neighborhood live here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space? We'll give you a chance to call in and win that in about 5 minutes or so. Within the next 5 minutes, you can get in here to see The Neighborhood. You can go to krock.com for all the details. It's going to be next Tuesday afternoon. You can also register to win online, too.
Bean, you know how our attention span is that of a gnat. It's about 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And we find something that we think is funny, and we do it, and then we're done with it. We move on. We can't just keep doing the same thing because we have no attention span whatsoever.
Right. Right.
Larry Flint, who publishes Hustler magazine, has been sending every single congressman a Hustler magazine every month since 1983.
Wow! That is persistence.
1983. And a bunch of congressmen have said, hey, please stop sending us that. And he won't. He just sends it every month. It actually went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said he's allowed to do it. And so he does it every single month. He sends it in a manila envelope so they never know which one it is. Mm-hmm. But he sends him a Hustler.
I bet he gets a kick out of it. Every single month, as his intern is taking the Hustler magazine to send to Nancy Pelosi, he goes, ah, that's so funny. I'm doing that again for 30 years. Well, you know, Larry, he's a First Amendment crusader. People remember the movie, The People versus Larry Flint. I mean, he's a guy who has fought for a lot of, a lot of his constitutional rights. And he looks at this as a First Amendment thing. He's allowed to petition the government. This is his way of contacting a congressperson, which is allowed by law. But it's hilarious because you know they hate it. You know the last thing in the world any of these congressmen want is to be, you know, somehow photographed with a Hustler magazine in their office.
Yeah, publicly they hate it,
publicly they hate it, exactly, yeah. Well, we wanted to find out more about this, and if this is as much fun for Larry as it seems like just reading the article. So we asked Dave, hey, could you line up Mr. Flint for us? It's been a while since we had the man on the program, but he joins us now here on K-Rock. Hi, Larry.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
We're very good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
We're kind of chuckling
not
a little
good.
Bit.
I'm still in a wheelchair.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't walk. But
as good as I can be, I guess.
Right. Sure. So. I mean, you're still living a pretty good life, though. You got a lot of beautiful ladies around you. You run a successful business.
Your wheelchair is made of gold.
Yeah, solid gold.
Yeah.
got that. I have a Hustler Casino as well.
Right.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And the store down there on Sunset, everything's going well.
Things are all right, except for that whole can't walk thing.
Right. Getting shot thing, yeah. So, Larry, what is it about sending a Hustler magazine to all 535 members of Congress every month for 30 years that keeps you going? How do you maintain the enthusiasm to keep this bit up?
Well, I get the enthusiasm just by reading the paper every day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you look at some of these members of Congress, they just got their head up their butts.
Right, right.
And so I send them pictures of people with other things up their butts. And I'm just trying to get them to loosen up a little bit.
I see.
And I'm always hoping that, you know, one issue at a time, if I can change their attitude of one congressman,
right,
then all is worth it.
I see. I got you. So basically, you're just trying to open their eyes a little bit and maybe get them to think a little bit outside of their very narrow points of view.
Lighten up.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
I do get a kick out of imagining some Mormon congressman from Utah.
Right.
Getting that envelope and open it. I'm hoping to kill one of them someday, just with a heart attack, and just grabs his chest and falls over.
Wow. I see. And for folks who don't know, if you've not seen a Hustler magazine, it's about the most extreme, anywhere close to mainstream porn magazine that's printed. I mean, you haven't lost a step.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, it's
pretty extreme.
There's a lot of fluids, Larry.
A matter of, you know, perspective.
A lot of fluids.
Well, it's all just, you know, bodies.
Right.
Right.
Body parts.
Yeah, doing
things.
We've all
got them.
Right. Right.
We've all got fluids.
Sure.
Some of us more than others.
Sure, yeah.
Some of us have bags to collect those fluids.
Ugh. Oh, Larry.
It's just life, fellas. You have to, you know, loosen up around these things.
All right.
Well, we just wanted to say we found it very amusing that you have been continuing this since 1983. That is some stick-to-itiveness that we have to applaud, sir.
The way magazine sales are now, I'm publishing the magazine just to send it to Congress.
Right.
We don't really sell that many copies anymore. So now I just keep the presses rolling just to send the copies to Congress.
Well, it's worth it. I think you're doing the right thing, Mr.
Frank. Yeah, I got my shipment now. I send out this month's batch out to Congress now, so I better get these in the mail.
Okay, well, we'll let you go.
I'm going to walk them over to the post box here and just take them
over
to
the... Larry, no. Larry, no. No. Larry. Wait. Larry. Oh, no. You can't walk. Larry.
I just said at the beginning of the interview I couldn't walk.
Right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
We'll talk NBA playoffs with our friend Matt Money Smith coming up right after the top of the hour. Comedian Adam Ray next hour. Taylor Hawkins.
Borrowed Adam Ray.
I don't think that's going to be here later on today. And actor Shane West as well. So a lot of shows still to come here on The Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Loved that. Song.
I don't think that's.
They always talk about Adam Ray in that. I think that's terrific.
I don't think they do.
He's a big star.
I think those are the lyrics.
Hey, let me give you something. How about some passes to the K Rock screening of The Quiet Ones?
Yay!
Thursday, April the 24th at the Arclight Hollywood, we will be showing The Quiet Ones a full 24 hours before it is in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 25th. This movie looks terrifying. Jared Harris, who I've always loved, from Mad Men to Sherlock Holmes. Sam Claflin from Hunger Games. Olivia Cooke from Bates Motel. Looks terrific. A university professor and his team of students in the 70s conduct experiments trying to uncover terrifying paranormal forces. The only problem is they uncover terrifying paranormal forces.
You are all going to die tonight.
Don't go looking for them.
Yep.
That's what I say.
I say the
same.
That's
why I never run into terrifying paranormal forces, because I never go, I never research them and try to find them. I just stay away from them.
They shouldn't, the Quiet Ones, but you're lucky they don't, because they'd make a very dull movie if they didn't. Call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through get a pair of passes to go see The Quiet Ones.
Okay, speaking of tickets, tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon. It's been a couple weeks, over a month since we played locally in Los Angeles, and we're going to be there on Melrose at the Improv tonight at 10 p.m. We'd love to have you come join us.
That's hot.
Thank you so much, Beer Mug. You can go to improv.com or babylonralph.com or csmod.com. There's a lot of ways you can go get your tickets, so get them and be here.
Not so much.
Did you hear about that big story about Aretha Franklin getting into a fist fight with Patti LaBelle?
No.
No, but I'd like to.
Yeah. They were punching at each other and slapping and kicking.
A real fight?
Well, actually, that story came from a parody news website called The News Nerd. But here's the thing. Because we live in the time of the internet and desperate 24-hour news cycles, tons of legitimate news outlets totally fell for that story and picked it up and ran with it.
Love it.
You know who doesn't love it? Aretha Franklin.
I bet.
Well, here's the thing. The News Nerd is a website which clearly states at the top of its masthead that the stories are purely satirical for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
Well, Aretha Franklin says it doesn't matter because the straight news outlets picked up that story and ran with it. She said the stories are not presented with satire or humor. It was presented as a serious news story intended to depict me in a slanderous and derogatory way. Defamation of character. How much do you think Aretha's asking for in damages? In her
$100 million.
$10 million. Only $10 million.
Still ridiculous.
In her defamation lawsuit. The best thing could happen to Aretha Franklin, if people thought she was still healthy enough to beat Patti LaBelle's ass.
Right,
the
exactly.
best possible scenario
You're
for
still
her.
In that kind of shape.
Good for you, Queen of Soul.
This is the same website, by the way, that said Taylor Swift had a medical condition that makes her afraid of black men. So, so they get a big thumbs up from me, this news nerd. I think they're funny.
I love it.
Hey, remember Four Non-Blondes? They had a one-hit wonder in the 90s, which is song I still love. Can you give me a little what's up? Give me a little what's up. In our damn day.
She did say hey in her defense.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. Ah, love that tune. Well, she is getting the band back together. Linda Perry, who has gone on, by the way, after that song was a big hit in the 90s, to be one of the most successful songwriters in the business.
It's insane. She's written like 100 top 10 hits. Yeah. That's not even an exaggeration.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's a monster. Monster. Wow. She is getting the band back together to perform on May 10th at an event called An Evening with Women at the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center. I'm guessing gays not invited. Just the lesbians.
Oh.
It's an evening with women.
Yeah, I guess so.
Linda has produced the annual event for years, and she decided to call up her former bandmates to see if they'd be up for a one-time reunion shot. They said yes, and so it's going to be a very popular event. And, of course, Linda just got married to the talk co-host, Sarah Gilbert, who was also on Roseanne for many years. So I might go to see them live again. I'd love to. Oh, wait a minute. It's An Evening with Women.
Yeah, you can.
I guess I'm not well.
Do that.
Yeah.
No, damn Ralph it. Invited.
Damn it. But what if I dress up like a woman? What if I go nutty like Tom Hanks and Bosom Buddies?
But
and
they
I
can't
put on
tell.
A dress and a wig?
If they can't tell, you're fine.
That's what I'm saying. How could you tell? Me dressed as a woman? I would look completely feminine. And completely believable as a woman.
That
I
is true.
You might get cast in the Mrs. Doubtfire sequel if somebody sees you out there.
Hello! I'm here to see Four Non-Blondes! I love their song, What's Up? I think we found Beer Mug's kryptonite. You know, I've always believed he could eat anything.
Right.
And would, given
right.
the opportunity.
Sure.
Well, maybe we have to send him over to England. See if he can face off with the ultimatum.
The ultimatum.
Oh, the ultimatum. Is a 15-inch tall burger.
15 inches?
Yes, well over a foot in height. The burger is a massive concoction of beef and meat and cheese and bacon and just meat. Just meat.
Mmm, delicious.
Ultimatum, it's called.
Yummy.
It's at a cafe called Mr. Eater's. In the town of Preston,
come on.
In the UK.
I'm not even trying.
This is real?
Mr. Eaters.
How many calories in the ultimatum, do you think?
Oh, my God.
5,000.
10,000 calories in the ultimatum. So daunting is this burger that it's free to any customer who can finish it.
Love
if you
it.
Can eat it, it's free. It's on the house if you can finish it off.
Love it.
I say we get Beer Mug on a plane.
One way.
We get him up in the air, and then we shoot that plane down. I'm sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
What's that got to do with the burger?
I don't remember, but I like my new idea better than the one I started with.
Yummy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rick Moranis is 61 years old today. Actor James Woods, he's 67. Eric Roberts is 58. Conan O'Brien turns 51 today. Maria Bello is 47. David Tennant, he used to be Doctor Who. Now you can see him on Broadchurch. He's going to do the U.S. version of Broadchurch as well. He'll be starring in that. 43 years old, Eli Roth, the director, is 42. Another talented director, Edgar Wright, celebrates his 40th birthday. Melissa Joan Hart is 38. America Ferrera is 30. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley turns 27 today. Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is 22 years old today. She's Sky.
Yeah.
She's got some magical powers going on, but I don't know what they are. I can't wait to find out. She's got a gift.
She's got a gift already.
She was classified. Just saying.
I think I'm two episodes behind. I have to catch up on that.
So you haven't seen Hydra come out? You haven't
no.
seen Hydra bust through S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
Oh, it's so cool because S.H.I.E.L.D. is running concurrently with Captain America's story from the Winter Soldier. So what happened in that film when you saw that also gets reflected in what's happening with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's impressive.
It's very impressive. And the most recent episode, our buddy Patton Oswalt showed up as one of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. A very, very exciting, talented, funny guy.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. That band, of course, MGMT playing Coachella this weekend. Those of you probably heading out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
I bet Leonardo DiCaprio will be dancing to MGMT.
Make sure and see them and look for him. Sure.
That was his band, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, what was all that cash I saw exchanging, alleged cash, exchanging hands in the office yesterday? What was all that about?
That was Lakers-Clippers bet, and I was betting on the Lakers, and I lost a lot.
You have a standing yearly bet with who does better in the NBA season with you and the King of Mexico. He's a big Clippers fan, you're a big Lakers fan, and yesterday, as the season ended, somebody got paid.
It was a three-bet payoff, three different bets I lost.
Yeah, so that was a lot of cash.
So that's good.
Well, I was fascinated to see this because, you know, there's been a lot of talk this year as the NBA playoffs begin. Hey, Matt Money Smith from the Petrus and Money Radio Show on AM 570. How are you, my friend?
What's happening, guys?
I was surprised to see this with all the talk that's been going on with the NBA playoffs about how there's no Lakers, there's no Knicks, and there's no Celtics. And I guess that's never happened before in the playoffs before. I was surprised to see that the Lakers have made the playoffs 60 out of the last 65 years.
Yeah, that would explain how bad this season has gone, as in the worst season in Laker history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty sure much enough. Explains. I think that puts it in a nutshell, right? Never happened
I mean,
before.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's a level of success that I can't think of any franchise that can come close to that. 60 out of 65 years to make the playoffs. I mean, every team, no matter how good they are, even if you're the New York freaking Yankees, you're going to go through a rough patch of a few years where you don't make the playoffs. But the Lakers, I mean, that's an unbelievable record.
And you know what? I think you would assume that buys you a little bit of equity, you know, a little bit of leeway with the fans. Hey, look, when you think about the Cavaliers or the, you know, just pick a team.
Yeah.
And here we are. All right. So fine. We had one bad year. Cut
right.
Some slack, for goodness sake.
Give them a chance to see what they're going to do. Now, let's talk about the teams that are in the playoffs.
Yep.
Clippers are playing the Warriors.
Yes.
In the first round. Tell us what you think about that matchup.
You know what? How about this, guys? I'm going to tell you what I think about that matchup in about 20 seconds, because I got to stick this chip close here.
Okay.
On the fifth hole.
What? Oh, no, he's golfing.
You're golfing again?
You're golfing again?
I'm playing with Dodgers all-time home run leader Eric Karros, and I got to win some money right here.
What?
So here we go. Tell me if you can hear the crispness of
not
the
again, money.
Here we go. All right, let's listen up. Let's hear it.
Nope. Couldn't hear a thing.
There you go.
Not a thing.
Sorry about that, guys. So, yeah, Clippers Warriors.
Didn't realize you were quite so busy today.
You know what? It's my fault. I love Christine, and I love you guys, and of course, I will always, always jump on any time. I just forgot Friday's my day to lose about $200 to Eric Karros. So, if anyone else is listening, be sure to know that I'm going to drop him a $10.99.
Are you really golfing with him?
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs. So, how do you think it's going to go for the Clippers? Easy, or do they have to earn it in seven? Or five, or whatever the series is. What's that?
It'll be a tough series because Steph Curry just changes everything. You know, he's kind of one of those differences. Just think like Dirk Nowitzki or Shaq. You know, one of those guys that's just impossible to defend. You know, you gotta kind of, it doesn't matter how far you extend the defense, he can shoot from 10 feet behind the 3-point line.
Right.
So,
and nail him, right.
Everything you do defensively, you know, is kind of thrown out the window. You just scrap it. So, That's the big problem, and that's where the challenge comes in. But, you know, the thing about the Clips is they have size. They've got Blake Griffin. They've got DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
And the Warriors have none. You know, now that Andrew Bogut's hurt, there's nothing they can do inside.
So the Warriors only have one real threat.
Right. It's just that whole backcourt, Klay Thompson and Steph can both shoot. You know, they can shoot from deep. So, like I said, whatever your defensive philosophy might be, just scrap it. You know, you can get screwed, and they'll get screwed in at least one game, maybe two, because that's, I mean, Steph might go down as the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA. That's
really?
How good he is. Yeah.
Wow. Do you see do you see the Clippers getting past the Warriors, and how far do you see them going?
Yeah, I do see them getting past them. I don't think, just because they have no size, I don't think there's any way Warriors get out of that. They'll take a game, maybe two, because of that outside shooting. But the Clips will advance, and it'll be a hell of a series with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
What would be considered, like, how far do the Clippers have to go for it to not be a disappointment to Clipper fans this season?
Well, I think as long as you have a series against the Thunder, you know, everybody before the season said, oh, it's got to go conference finals or bust. But I think the key is you got to have a series. You can't get tossed by the Thunder in five games.
Right.
That thing's got to go at least six. They have to be great games. And there's nothing wrong with losing to a team that was in the conference finals last year and the NBA finals 2 years prior to that.
The Thunder are great. I mean, that's going to be a rough series no matter what.
Yeah, no question. No question. But you know what? The Clips are pretty damn great, too. So I can see them getting out of that series. You know, if they steal one, which is not going to be easy, and this is just stupid analysis that anybody can do, but steal one on the road, the Clippers play fantastic at home, and that's how you advance.
This is the voice of Matt Money Smith on the golf course this morning here talking to the Kevin and Bean Show about the NBA playoffs that are beginning now. The Heat are going for what? Are they going for a three-peat right now, Matt? Is that where we're at?
Miami
Heat?
Yeah, it would be this. I'm trying to, because they lost, you know, so it could be their fourth straight time in the finals, the third consecutive win, which just, I mean, we know that, how hard that is to do. Obviously, the Bulls did it twice in the 90s. The Lakers did it at the start of the 2000s. The problem is you play more games than everyone. You know, and that's kind of what we're seeing with Dwayne Wade and why he's busted up, because he's played, you know, into deep June. He's played into deep June multiple times. So that's how you get
home.
You get a short offseason compared to a lot of the other teams. Hey, remember back in the day when the Lakers were going for their three-peat? Didn't we hear that Phil Jackson had trademarked that and that he owned three-peat and he got paid anytime anyone used it in anything?
No, it was actually Pat Riley.
Oh, it was Pat Riley who had it. Okay. Right. So Pat Riley right now is getting paid, right? Because I'm sure there's got to be a ton of three-peat merchandise and everything like that going on in Miami right now.
Exactly. Well, it's a good point, I guess. I never thought of that. That finally Pat Riley has his shot at his three-peat.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what? He always cashes in.
Yeah.
I guess it's just, and I don't know, unless he has some sort of equity inside of the, Heat organization for merchandise sold, as you can tell, I'm a bit distracted.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah, a bit. Then, you know. He'll make his money, but you know, if there's one thing Pat Riley needs, guys, it's money.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Damn dead broke.
All right, Money, we're out of time. I know you got to golf. We got to move on, but let's just talk hockey really quick. Do you see the Kings?
Sure.
The Kings getting past the Sharks.
That was ugly last night.
It was
embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing last night.
All right, take it easy. Do you see them getting past them?
Yes,
you do. All right, what about?
I don't see how they play that bad again.
What about the Ducks and the Stars?
Ducks will crush him.
That's pretty easy,
even
right?
Even with Getzlaff having half a face.
Oh, he got hit right in the mouth with a puck.
That was brutal.
Oh.
Did you see that photo that his brother tweeted out?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man, it's bad. Look it up. It's brutal. I think he got something like 70 stitches.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hit right in the face. It was just a direct shot.
Bad scene. Yeah, Google that. There you go. Hey, good morning, everybody. Over your breakfast, go ahead, Google Ryan Getzlaff brother's tweet and take a look at that while you're throwing down your English muffin.
All right, Matt. Sorry to catch you at a busy time here on a Friday. Say hi to Mr. Karras for us. Have a great time and a great weekend, sir.
All right, guys. Sorry about that.
No worries.
See you later. Bye-bye.
I told my buddy for the longest time I wanted to be a Ninja Turtle as a kid. He shot me down pretty quick. He's like, yeah, well, that's impossible, dude. You don't even know karate, so how are you going to play? 2 weeks ago, best friend, as hammer as I've ever seen anyone, tried to open the front door to his apartment at the end of the night by pressing his iPhone on the door. Do you understand? He drank so much tequila, he thought he came home to the future. That's a lot of booze. A lot of beautiful women in L.A. That's not a problem. It's a little deceiving, though. If you're trying to meet one, sometimes you'll be driving in your car, sir. You look out the window, you see a really hot girl. You're like, oh, man, she's hot. Then upon further inspection, you realize, oh, man, she's a man.
Adam Ray, everybody!
Adam Ray, indeed. On Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Of course, the About Last Night podcast with our friend Brad Williams, and tons of live shows coming up in the next few days, few weeks, few months here. Hey, Adam, how are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on? I'm doing great. I got to be honest, putting a music background track and the club beat behind my stand-up is making me feel inadequate about performing without that now.
What do we need?
It makes it sound so much cooler.
We had Hannibal Buress in here the other day, and he works with a DJ, and I'm beginning to think that that's the way to go.
I mean, I might be entering that next part of my career where I have to have somebody on stage with me. What's up? Hey, Detroit, good to see you guys. Hey, what's the deal with airplane food, huh? See, even something as stupid as that of a premise sounds awesome with a DJ track.
It sort of does.
Yeah.
Now, Adam, we got a lot of ground we got to cover with you because you have been
ridiculously busy. Yeah. I want you to explain this to me. This is a tweet that you gave out yesterday.
Oh, no.
Tonight, I'm at the Laugh Factory at 8, Inside Jokes LA at 8:30, and the Ice House at 9:30. Come to one or come to all. Are you just jumping in your car, driving, jumping up on stage, telling a joke, running back out of the parking lot, getting in the car, driving to the next place? What's going on?
Well, I'm actually sponsored by... I need to take off my hat and start fist pumping in a moment here.
Sorry, you didn't want it that time?
Yeah. Right. For so long I struggled for like a spot for a week. So now that I have the opportunity to go up, like I have 5 shows tonight, which has never happened to me before.
What?
Yeah, never happened to me before.
Well, how is the fifth one not going to suck?
Good question. That's what we're going to find out tonight.
You have 5 shows.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really...
How? Explain that to us.
Well,
how are you doing
that? I accidentally overbooked myself, but now I'm going to... And I've only done 4 shows like a handful of times because people in New York, when they say, you know, I can do 20 spots in a night, they have the subway and a lot of things are pretty close and you can get to... But obviously to drive, it takes up a little bit more time. So I just... 3 of the shows are in very close proximity and then the last two are close.
Wait. Yeah. All 5 are at different places?
Yeah, yeah. But it's spread out.
You know, some clubs, you can do 2 in one night.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to drive anymore.
I know.
You should look into that.
All right. That's pretty advice. You're doing the John Lovitz Comedy Club Universal City Walk tonight, right? At 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock, yeah.
Okay, so tickets available now, johnlovitzcomedyclub.com, just $20. All right, where else are you going to be?
I'm going to be at the Comedy Store, but let me tell you something. So I'm not a big club guy, right? I've never prepared for the club. I never have enough money. I never have enough dragons on my shirt. I need that beat.
Sorry.
It faded out. See how the joke just died with the beat?
It sort of did.
It was kind of a trial experiment, but it proved itself.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be at Vegas, actually, for the first time headlining the Tropicana next week.
What's that like when you see that photo of your name
on
and
the marquee
face up on the strip? Yeah.
You know your face up there too?
Yeah.
Oh, it's his face is up
on
there.
A big marquee.
Sweet.
It is sweet. You know what? I don't know. It's
you feel like Sammy Davis Jr. all of a sudden, right?
Oh, totally. One of my buddies.
But with both eyes.
Yeah. Both of mine work, at least I think. And so one of my buddies posted on Facebook, he goes, Elvis, Sinatra, and then he .. and he goes, and now A-Ray. And I'm like, well, I mean, you're really kind of, you know, throwing me in that category without checking with anybody first. But,
sure.
But it is, you know, as far as he was being like, you're on a marquee like they were. It is cool. I mean, Vegas to me is always, if I don't go see a show, I'm at that point where I'm like, I gotta go see a Cirque du Soleil show every time I go because,
why?
I've just done all the gambling and the crazy
bro weekends.
It's
not possible to
weekends.
Do all the gambling. What's wrong with you?
There's still more gambling available,
well,
right, Adam?
Always gambling.
I mean, I gamble at the buffet at Denny's usually, and that's a huge gamble with your body. But like, Cirque du Soleil shows, I used to love them though, but like now I'm getting to a point where it's like, they just make you feel awful about how not in shape you are,
because
I'm watching these kids half my age do backflips over rings of fire while other guys juggle hats while climbing ropes made of women, and I'm like, man, I gotta do some push-ups tonight,
because
I'm not even close to the upper body strength of these guys.
You gotta yell, hey, tame it down a bit, you're making me feel bad.
Exactly. Plus his pop brownie's not helping,
right?
But one of my buddies is going with me to Vegas, and he's like a life of a party guy, which is
not Brad, is it?
No. Okay. Brad can't go to Vegas after his last time. Did he tell you guys about
that?
He's
not allowed?
I don't think
what
so.
What do you mean? No.
No, last time Bradley Williams, my co-host and little guy who is not booze and he ate booze and he had an edible of sorts and that did not mesh with his body and he lost color in his face and slid down the wall of a hotel lobby.
Oh, we did talk to him.
He was in the hospital.
That's
we did talk to him after he was in the hospital.
And
that's
also,
right.
And what's so great, Brad is such a big Twitter guy that he immediately tweeted a picture of him with IVs in a hospital bed. So I see that and I'm like, all right, he's got to be okay.
Yeah.
He told me that he said to the guy who was wheeling him in that he was like, man, are you all right? Like, this is pretty scary. He goes, yeah. And Brad's like, yeah. He goes, you know what's really scary is before I ate that pot brownie, I was 6'4". And the guy's like, wait, what? But Brad's all over that. He's not going back. He won't go back with me. But
all right.
But my buddy who's coming with me is just one of those drinking guys that like comes up with drinking games like all the time, like on the spot, which is fun because he's just a real social guy. So he'll just be like, you know, hey, this next, you guys want to hey, stick to the rules on this game and never everybody be feeling it. So it's a simple game. All you got to do is anytime you take a sip of your beer, then you got to drink a whole beer. So that's how you'll be drunk and then you can shower with your clothes on.
There may be a morning radio opening soon for him if he wants to fill in for a guy I know.
How dare you, sir?
Too soon.
How dare
too Too soon.
Adam Ray is here. We have to take a very quick break. There's a lot of business going on in the world of Adam Ray right now, so you should be keeping current at AdamRayTV.com. The Pop-Tart Suicide album is out now. That's Adam's latest comedy release on Amazon and iTunes, and you can see him tonight at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Universal City Walk. Go to JohnLovitzComedyClub.com to buy your tickets. More in a moment after this on camera. All right, Adam Ray is here. Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter, AdamRayTV.com. Hey, let's hear a little Adam's song here before we talk to some more.
I want to talk to you about this. What exactly is...
So, you know what? I came in here thinking, you know, I've come in here a handful of times. You guys have been very sweet, and we've had some great laughs and some great stories. But I was like, I gotta bring something fresh and different in. And I thought, you guys don't have like a specified theme song, do you?
We don't.
No, we
really,
don't.
No.
Yeah. Don't really have a jingle.
Yeah,
no.
You don't have a jingle. And and I gotta be honest, I'm a big fan of jingles. Some of my favorite jingles range from, you know, the Folgers coffee. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup, which, you know, is, you know.
You're a big fan of that?
Well, I've just said.
That's sort of weird.
I mean, you know, first of all, that jingle, let's be honest, it needs to be updated because the best part of waking up is not dying in your sleep.
That's true.
I don't know. I love catchy tunes, and you guys, I felt like, needed one, so I took a little time last night and wrote one, so.
Well, I woke up early this morning, way before 5 a.m. My alarm didn't go off, but my roommate peed in my closet again. He drinks a lot. Drove down to K-Rock in my 2005 Ford Escape, ladies. And now I'm on the best damn show on the radio that should have a theme song, don't you think so? Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean.
Sing it if you know it.
Oh, one hates the Beatles, the other loves Paula Deen. Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean. Oh, there's no other show I'd listen to. Unless, you know, Lindsay Lohan and Mel Gibson had a show. Because, you know, she's drugged up and he's crazy. So that's they're bound to do some entertaining stuff. But they don't have a show. So, you know, it's Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean. Oh, Kevin and Bean. Well, that's super, super nice. And no, they're never, ever mean. Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean. Some say Bean and Kevin, but you know what they mean. Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean. There ain't no better team than I ever seen. Kevin and Bean, oh, Kevin and Bean, yeah.
Zero for effort, zero for style. Zero for star quality.
Easy, Simon.
And you know what? I'm being generous.
That is amazing.
You are Neil Diamond, though.
You know what? I was telling Brad the other day, most of, anytime I sing, it goes to 80s rock ballad.
Hey,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of, oh, man. I quickly go, either that or then I'll just get really soft like this and intense, but then it goes back to this. I don't know where that started.
That's how my mom talks. Thank you for that, by the way. Yeah. It's very funny. We appreciate that
very much.
I want to talk about how many shows have you been on with Dr. Drew in the last week?
Oh, yeah. Maybe 52?
Yeah, it seems like you guys are lovers all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing
best,
podcasts together. You're on TV together. Yeah. You're on Loveline together.
We're going to Thailand next week just to get massages.
That's nice.
What was it like for you as a longtime fan and listener of Loveline to be the celebrity guest on that show?
It was incredible because some of those – I just didn't know the balance between taking the callers, how serious
it's
to
tough.
Handle it. Because you're like, I'm on here for comedic purposes. But I also actually have a lot to say about, like, you know, a guy that was dealing with a long distance relationship or a girl rather, and she's like, you know, I just don't know, he's not ready to commit more. And I was like, man, love gets you through about a year and a half, then somebody's got to compromise. And I was like, and she's like, you know, she's like, we do phone sex and Skype. I'm like, dude, Skype is terrible, right? It's not even close. She's like, it's not as good as the real thing. I'm like, yeah, exactly. It's like my girlfriend would try to do something sexy with it, right? One night she'd hold her boobs together for like 5 minutes, right? Turns out the computer just froze. I was still taking care of business because I don't know when I was going to see her again. I was like, it's, you know, and
but you're like, hold it.
Yeah,
don't
hold
move.
It. That's not attractive, but hold it.
Don't move.
But so you try to help the people, but you still have to pepper in the comedy. But some of these calls are just bananas.
Brutal. Some of them are brutal. Some of them are bizarre.
Because they call with the type of desperation in their voice for Dr. Drew to solve their lives.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Bean and I both have
called in with herpes. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's and,
no, but I mean, we've actually hosted or been guests as well. And it's you just look at Drew.
Exactly.
You just go.
You check in and go, is this, yeah.
You have the answer.
Yeah.
So, cause I don't.
Yeah. And it's crazy how quickly he can, call out to what, I mean, we were talking about casual dating. So it was a lot of people calling in being like, you know, is it possible? And a lot of people go, yeah, yeah, I think so. And then they would talk about just being in a relationship. So it was like nuts. And then one girl called and was saying these guys kept hitting on her at Hooters. And so I was like, how are guys picking you up? And she said the guys literally would say things to the extent of, so you like drinking, yeah? Cool. We got more beers back in my place. You know, you could you maybe drink them off my abs. They're super, like, I got great abs. Like, they just so lame like that.
Wow.
Hey, that works for me, by the way.
I was going to say, it sounded like your voice, the guy she was describing.
So, speaking of Dr. Drew, yeah. Who's so hunky, by the way, in person, isn't he?
I mean, he's an attractive
fellow. So hunky.
Yeah, he's
you also
it.
Went on his HLN show, which is, God bless Dr. Drew, and he's excellent on this show. It's the worst format for a talk show on television because you are one of 9 guests at the same time.
Yeah.
None of you are in the same room. And, what is that like to do?
Well, and 9 guests, and 8 of them being Chatty Cathy women who...
Yes.
Who are all great and have strong personalities that you have to try to get in. I mean, I wrote maybe 4 jokes per topic before I got in there because it's a very similar a la Chelsea Lately where it's like you have your jokes for the topic. You try to get as many in as possible. And it was just tough. Like I wrote all these bits and I ended up not doing any of them and ended up just kind of sit like improvised. Like one of them was about the woman for U.S. Airways that had tweeted a picture. Did you guys hear about this?
Oh,
of the plane
yeah.
inside of a hoo-ha.
Yep.
And I said I was going to do something about me smuggling peanuts, you know, in my hoo-ha on Southwest Airlines or whatever and all this. And I just couldn't even get it
just
out because
never had
as soon
the
as
chance.
I was like, yeah, well, I smuggled some peanuts. And then the girl's like, well, let me tell you something, Drew. And so people are just like, this guy's just telling us about his peanut situation. Like, is that a joke or a point of view?
Why do you punchline?
Just Wikipedia facts is all I got out. I smuggled peanuts once. Cool, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Why do you think they insist on having so many guests at one time?
Oh, I think because of the chaos. And it's like Drew is a mastermind, puppet master of taking on, so, like he facilitates, you know, we're going to go to commercial break and then moving on from topic to topic.
That's super difficult. Yeah, he does it well.
He's a master of it.
But Bean's right. It's way too, way, you could
way
cut it by
many.
A third and you'd have plenty of guests.
Yeah, it's way too much. I don't know how those girls don't fight amongst each other. The guys won't fight because guys... I want to say this to about, I don't know if, Danny, have you guys ever gotten in an actual fight, like guy fight?
I can't believe you're bringing this up. We just had a whole conversation yesterday about fist fights, and Kevin almost gotten one over the weekend at Coachella, and we were talking about how rare that happens as an adult.
How rare? You know why? Here's why. Because I think 9 out of 10 guys don't want to be in fights. Most guys you ask them, they'll go, I'd throw around if I had to. If push came to shove, they always say stuff like, if shove came to push, if there's shove, push,
well,
and push.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, exactly. And then people get into it, but here's what happens. They don't, nobody, like, until the fist actually has, it's a lot of taunting and questions.
Right, right.
If you see any bar fight, it's like, we get in the ring so quickly because all the testosterone, but then it's just questions. It's like, the easiest thing will set it off like a shoulder bump, and then a guy will go, what's up, bro? He's like, not much, dude. Was that your shoulder? I don't know. Who's asking? Was it? Do you know what shoulders are? What's that, bro? Are you good tonight? I'm real good. What's up with you? Is that your boy? Maybe. Who's asking? Does he like the fish? You guys getting to know each other? Somebody punch somebody. That's most fights because nobody wants to actually get into it. But you got into it, so no, there must have...
I got knocked into a guy who took great
See?
Exception.
Knocked into it. That's all it takes.
He elbowed me in the back... And then he turned and he clenched his fist. And so I thought, he's coming at me.
He came in ready to go.
Yeah. And I thought, I'm going to duck. I had a plan in my head. I thought, I'm going to duck and I'm gonna hit him with a left, I'm still gonna get my ass beat.
Yeah.
Either way,
But you know I have to make a move. I can't lay back and take this because I'm a grown man.
Exactly. Yeah. But people got in between us, and then I said, "What's up, bro?"
See, exactly. It's all questions, man.
Kevin was begging somebody to hold him back so it would look like he couldn't throw the punch that he had every intention
really
of throwing.
I really wanted to, but someone grabbed me.
Most guy fights are just like eHarmony like profile chats. It's just like the worst date ever because you're just getting up by the end of it, you're best friends.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad you came out unscathed.
I was all right, yeah. It didn't.
How was Coachella?
It didn't happen. Coachella was awesome.
It's amazing, huh?
And a bunch of people are going out there right now.
Any
for a weekend, too.
Any Raffy holograms or anything like that?
No, there was none of that. There
you
were
remember
guests.
Raffy, right? The folk singer?
Is he dead? Did he die?
I'm sorry,
is
that went
dead?
Right by me.
I thought he was still alive.
How did you not know Raffy?
Raffy was a
down
kids,
by the bay where the watermelons... See, I'm doing it again. Down by the bay where the watermelon grow.
I don't know. Maybe you should pick one that people recognize.
holograms. Okay. Any Katy Perry holograms?
No.
She was there, though, in person. Hey, listen. Yeah.
That Wide Awake song came on last night, and I guess the first time I heard it, I was like, it's actually kind of cryptic, because she's like, I'm unawake. I'm in your living room. We're on a broom. It's like, are you a witch? Is that what you're telling me?
It's Adam's eyes. He's got the crazy guy eyes.
Crazy eyes. I mean, you know, she's sexy as hell, but.
Yeah.
Adam, you have to have the crazy eyes for the schedule that you're keeping tonight with all those shows, including the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk. That's going to be tonight at 10 o'clock. Tickets available now through johnlovitzcomedyclub.com. Get the new album. It's called Pop Tart Suicide, and it's hilarious. That's available through Amazon or iTunes. Follow Adam on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, and we will see you again soon, my friend.
You guys
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Kevin and Bean,
people, it's a Friday.
What are we doing?
Nothing. That's your problem.
Just enjoy the green day.
Figures in a wax museum. Come on.
Well, we don't have to play along with the music. We can just hear the music and enjoy the music.
Can party
Ralph.
A little bit. You Ralph, can have a little good time.
Ralph cannot hear the music without participating.
Come
it's
on.
Just, it's not in his DNA.
Because I got the music in me.
That's right.
I got
true.
The music in me.
Right.
I've
heard
that. I got the music in me.
I've heard that.
All right.
Hey, actor Shane West, actor and musician, in fact, Shane West joins us in studio.
Not Adam West.
No, Shane West. He is the star of Salem, premiering this weekend on WGN America. We'll talk all about that coming up. Taylor Hawkins in the 9 o'clock hour. Now, that's a party. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's happening?
Nothing. How about you people?
Come on. Sorry, we're not partying hard enough for you.
Sadly disappointing. Hey, heads up tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I return with our patented brand of Hollywood crap talking called Hollywood Babylon.
Why?
Because we haven't been back to the Improv on Melrose in some time.
Stop it.
It's good to be home. No, we're going to go on at 10 p.m. tonight. You can get your tickets at improv.com or babylonralph.com or csmod.com. But we'd love to have you come out and join us.
Tonight. I don't think so.
It's a good time. It's a really, really good time.
Unbelievable.
It's very believable. CW announced the summer premiere dates for five new shows that they're putting on, including the summer return of Beauty and the Beast. One of the new shows, the reason I bring this up, is very exciting. It's called Penn and Teller Fool Us. Penn and Teller, : Fool Us. Well, not :
What?
But the punctuation mark.
Oh, punctuation mark, :
That's where the pair ask aspiring magicians to attempt to do tricks that will surprise and amaze Penn and Teller. And how hard is it to impress those guys when it comes to magic?
I would think it would be impossible.
That's what
I Because
they
know how
think.
All the tricks work.
Yep. But they also know good stuff when they see it.
Wow.
So it's sort of a competition reality show for aspiring magicians, which is kind of cool. That debuts Wednesday, July the 30th. You can check that out.
Really, though, couldn't it just be Penn?
No, but Teller's there going...
Is he
going
to write?
Doing that.
People can't see you flailing your arms.
Oh, sorry. James Franco got into a little bit more of a high-profile beef this week. First, there was that Instagram thing with that girl from Scotland that he had to deal with. Now, he's taking on the critics. Turns out the New York Times theater critic, Bed Brantley, did not give his new show, Revival of Mice and Men, the Steinbeck play based on the novel, a very good review yesterday. So James Franco took to Instagram, calling Ben Brantley a little bitch, he wrote, adding he should be working for Gawker.com instead of the Times. The theater community hates him. The post has since been deleted. I guess James did it in a moment of anger, and that's not the best way necessarily to tweet or to post Instagram.
Yeah,
when you're feeling very emotional. Here's why James was upset. Brantley's review called his performance often understated to the point of near invisibility. This is not necessarily what you want on stage.
No, I would think not, but he's got to be used to... There's critics of everything, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, there's a critic that hates it.
Yeah, if you read that stuff, you're asking for trouble. Because people will come at you. And while we're talking about theater a little bit, Michael Cera will make his Broadway debut this summer. He's going to be in a production called This Is Our Youth, by playwright Kenneth Lonergan. And Kieran Culkin, who co-starred with Michael in the film Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, is also going to be in the cast. So that should be a cool ticket here in New York.
Wow, awesome.
Pick that up this summer. And Chris Brown is facing charges in Washington, D.C. about that assault
that he allegedly punched a guy who tried to photobomb. A photo was being taken outside of a hotel. The victim testified in court yesterday that Chris Brown, when it comes to his punching, they asked him on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard was the punch? He said, 6. However, Chris's bodyguard is also on trial for hitting the same guy, and the victim claimed his punch on a scale of 1 to 10 was a full 10.
Sure, because
he's a monster.
Yeah.
So it's great that he's suing Chris Brown, and also gets to say, doesn't even hit that hard.
Punch.
Now pay me like a monkey. Today's celebrity birthday is James Woods, 67 years old today. Rick Moranis turned 61. Eric Roberts, my co-star from Sharktopus.
Oh, sure.
That's probably what he's best known for.
Sure.
I think Sharktopus. 58 years old. Conan O'Brien's 51. Eric McCormick, also 51. Maria Bello, 47 years old. Actor David Tennant, one of my favorite Doctor Who's. Can also be seen in the series Broadchurch on BBC.
So good.
43 years old today. Eli Roth, the director, is 42. Another talented and lovable director. Edgar Wright turns 40 years old. Melissa Joan Hart's 38. America Ferrera is 30. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley is 27 years old today. And Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. turns 22. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Come on. You have to write down everything.
Busy writing stuff down over there, Kevin.
I can't write fast enough to keep up with Bad Bean.
Shane West joins us in studio from WGN America's Salem in a few minutes. First, though, we want to give away some hockey tickets for tonight at the Honda Center. Anaheim Ducks taking on the Dallas Stars. They're up 1-0 in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, did we decide on hockey moves or adult grooves? Is that what we're going with?
No, we're not calling it that.
I do not believe that Dave the King of Mexico's name is going to stick.
No. Instead, we're going to play a game we like to call He Shoots, He Scores.
That's correct. He shoots, he scores! She blinded me with science!
All right, Ralph, we have contestants on the line. What do they need to know?
A lot of hockey terms sound dirty, even though they're not.
Correct.
And a lot of sex moves sound funny, even though they're really just perverted, dirty, dirty things. So what I'm going to do is I will give you a phrase. It's either a hockey term or a sex term, and you just have to tell me which one it is.
All right. Sounds easy enough. And if you're right, no drawing. You win tickets to see the Ducks play at the Honda Center tonight.
That's right.
Yanni is first. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Yanni, here's your phrase. Tell me, is it a sex move or is it a hockey term? Flooding the cave. Flooding the cave.
Hockey move.
No, I'm sorry. That's a sex move.
No.
And not a good one.
Yes, not a good one. Sex move.
Sorry, Yanni. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Gladys. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Gladys. Here's your phrase. Parked in the crease. Parked in the crease.
That is hockey.
That is hockey. You're right.
Scores! Waka waka.
Waka waka, indeed.
That's when a player stands in front of the goalie, just in front of the goal there, trying to block his line of sight and perhaps, tip a puck in, parked in the crease.
Yeah.
Boy, you don't want to be standing out there trying to park at the crease and accidentally flood the cave, though.
No,
I'll tell you
that.
Sure,
you don't want to do that.
It's a bad mixture.
Just messy.
Let's go to Cassie. Hello there.
Hi.
Hey, Cassie. Here's your phrase. A man in the slot. A man
that is
in the slot.
A hockey term.
It is a hockey term. Well done.
He scores! What's in the box?
Ladies know they're hockey.
They do. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, Mike, here's your phrase. The corkscrew. The corkscrew.
Sex move.
That is a sex move, yeah.
He scores! Who's your daddy and what does he do?
All right, three like pairs of tickets given out. Oh, do you like that?
Yeah,
is that involved the thumb or no?
No. Stop making that.
Completely different.
Stop making the motion,
oh,
would you?
God.
Do you mind?
Wow.
Stop making the motion.
I will never unsee that, Ralph.
Drilling
please stop.
For oil.
All right. Pete, good morning. Hello, Pete.
Hey, good morning, party people. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hey, Pete, here's your phrase. Tell us, is it a hockey term or a sex move? Butterfly style. Butterfly style.
Sex move.
No, I'm sorry. That's a hockey term when the goalie spreads his pads out in front of him like butterfly wings to cover as much of the net as possible.
All right. Let's go to Jose. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on?
Here's your phrase, Jose. The bullwinkle. The bullwinkle.
The bullwinkle. Sex move.
Sex move indeed, yes.
Yeah.
come with me if you want to live.
And do the bullwinkle. Do I want to know what the bullwinkle is? You probably can't describe it, right,
Yeah,
Ralph?
I can. This is a pretty clean one, actually. This is when you are with a lady and you are behind her, so she can't see what you're doing, but one of your friends is hiding in the closet watching you do her.
Maybe videotaping.
You give him the high sign by putting your hands up to the sides of your head like antlers, like moose antlers, and you wave them back and forth and try to make him laugh while you're actually engaged in the act.
That's multitasking right there.
That
really is.
That is the bullwinkle.
Having sex and also doing the bit with your friend.
Yes.
All right, so that's four pairs. We got one pair left to see the Ducks tonight playing the Stars at the Honda Center. We got Bob. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Bob. Stick it in the five hole. Stick it in the five hole.
That sounds like a sex term.
No, I'm sorry. That's a hockey term. The five hole is the space between the goalie's legs there when he's in front of the goal.
By the way, five hole has been gotten wrong twice now. Both of them think it's six.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what they think the five hole is.
The fifth hole. I'd like to know what the fourth hole is, quite frankly.
Our listeners have some explaining to do.
They do.
Let's go to Steve. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Steve. Stack the pads. Stack the pads.
That's hockey.
That is hockey.
Whatever. Scores! Get off my lawn!
Goalie goes to his side and puts one pad on top of the other one on his legs to cover as much goal as possible. It's stacking the pads.
Nicely done.
I think we all learned a little something. Thanks for playing. He shoots, he scores.
He shoots, he scores! I'm a lead farmer!
This is a tough one, man. This is one of those cases where you... Do we have an intro for You Be the Judge? I think we need a You Be the Judge feature.
I don't think we do.
Because we need a judge in this situation. It's a complicated case. It's about a guy in 2000 who was convicted for armed robbery. He and a friend decided to steal the earnings at the end of a day at a Burger King. They walked in and they presented a gun, which turned out to be a BB gun. And their license plate was captured as they left the parking lot. And he was arrested. He was tried. He was convicted. He was sentenced to 13 years behind prison. His name is Cornelius Anderson, a St. Louis man.
Okay.
This was back in 2000. So he was told to await instructions. They sent him home. It was one of those deals where you get convicted, and then they say, okay, we're going to be putting you in jail next week. You can go home now, but, you know, obviously you can't leave town, and we'll give you instructions on when to, you know, when to show up to begin your sentence. Give
you
him a few days to
be the judge.
Very nice. So you get a little bit of time to get your affairs in order and say goodbye and, you know, set up your bills on auto pay or whatever you got to do. So he's told to await instructions on where and when to report to prison. A week goes by, then a month, then a year.
What? Oh.
Then 5 years, 10 years, 13 years. He finally gets a knock on the door, and the SWAT team shows up and says, hey, you're supposed to be in jail. What the hell?
We're the SWAT team. We're the judge.
Now, in the meantime, by the way, he has completely stayed on the straight and narrow. He has gotten married. He has raised three kids. He has become a carpenter and started a successful carpentry business.
Oh,
he,
God.
In no way, shape, or form, made any attempt to evade capture. Now, you could argue he didn't call the jail and go, hey, what about me? He didn't do that, but then he's not supposed to either. That's not his responsibility. It's the state's responsibility to send out a guy and pick up the dude who's been convicted, right? Again, completely above the law, no infractions whatsoever. He also made no effort to conceal his identity. He paid taxes, traffic tickets, renewed his driver's license, registered his businesses, went about his business living in the same house. 13 years later, which means last year.
The model citizen.
Model citizen. They show up, they send him to jail, and they say, hey, congratulations, you're about to start your 13-year sentence.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's brutal.
So the two sides of this argument are, well, if the point of sending the man to prison is rehabilitation, that's already been accomplished, and he's a far better asset to the community outside of the jail than he is inside. What's to be served by sending this guy to jail? He's not any trouble. The other side of that coin is, yeah, but it's not just rehabilitation. You also send people to jail to punish them, and he did commit armed robbery. And is it fair that he gets to skate on that, that he doesn't ever have to serve a day in jail because of that?
They make him skate?
You could also argue that he has served some time by looking over his shoulder, I would imagine, frequently over the past 13 years and feeling like the other shoe was going to drop any minute, right?
Every time the phone rings, every day when the mail comes.
So, guys.
You know, be the judge. What do you do to this model citizen for 30?
Hey, I'm giving you the reverb so you can say you be the judge.
What do you do with this?
No, you go, you be the judge. You say, you be the judge.
You be the judge.
There you go. Okay.
I'm the captain now. So what do you guys do? What do you do with this?
What I would do, and it won't happen because government doesn't work that way, is I would have a very, very, very big fine that he would pay off for many years to come.
But keep him out and keep him working.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you make him pay instead of serving time.
$300 out of every paycheck or something.
I think I agree with Lisa, and the reason is because it seems like common sense. If the guy is a model citizen for 13 years, common sense tells you he's pretty much, but it doesn't seem like the law has any common sense.
No, it
doesn't. So I think
But as we discussed, though, Kevin, that's the rehabilitation part of prison.
No, I know.
What about the?
Well, there's where the fine comes in.
And that's how you hurt him.
That's the punishment.
Yeah. I mean, he could have to pay that money for 20 years or something.
So that's your ruling.
Yeah. That's
I'm the judge. I say that. Yeah. What did they say?
Hasn't been decided yet. It's still winding its way through the courts. Obviously, he's got lots of appeals. They're appealing to Governor Nixon there in the great state of Missouri to commute the sentence. So far, no word. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I'll keep my eyes peeled for this story. Man kept out of jail due to a clerical error. We'll find out what happens. Hopefully, we'll know something soon.
You be the judge.
Nicely done. Nice.
Well done, Lisa. You should have been doing it all along. Shane West in studio. It's been a while since we've seen him back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you know him from Nikita and from ER and from so many great shows, Once and Again, of course. And now he's got a new show called Salem, debuting this weekend on WGN America. Listen up.
They could be anyone.
Who's they?
Witches.
The devil has come down onto you.
There could be nothing worse for Salem than a witch hunt.
Are you guilty or not?
There is something worse than a witch hunt. A witch. The good souls of Salem will drown themselves in innocent blood.
All right.
Okay, that's happening. All that's right, happening, Shane.
Oh, that's creepy.
That's creepy. That is scary. That happened. That's real, dude.
Well, we hope so, and we hope not. What's fun about this show is it. I like to call it. It's historical fiction. You know, it's based on history and these graphic events that happened in American history and these tragic events that happened in American history. But we're putting a twist on it of what if. Witches were real, and what if they were actually running the witch trials, which would mean a lot of these innocent people that were hung and things that happened to them, they were being deemed guilty by the actual witches to save their own hide. So it's kind of it's a really unique twist on it.
It's a brilliant conceit because witches are turning the Puritans against each other in their efforts to take over Salem. I mean, that's a brilliant approach to this story.
Yeah, and it's very you'll see immediately, even with the trailers, it's very graphic, and I feel like that's something that's necessary for a story like this.
Yeah, now, and Shane, it's nice that you're doing it that way as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're playing a real guy, though, who existed, right? A guy named John Alden whose parents came to America on the Mayflower, a very prominent New England family. What's involved in – is there anything that you can and can't do because you're playing a real person just in terms of getting in trouble with his descendants?
I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll find out when you get sued.
See what happens. Yeah, when my lawyer calls. I think, you know, with this show, knowing the way that we're starting – actually, a lot of the characters, Mary Sibley, Jana Montgomery is playing – Tituba, all the other characters in this are real characters in our history. And we're taking them as something, as like a basis to start with. And then we go from there. Because it's a genre piece, clearly it becomes fiction at points. So John Alden is one of, I believe, 9 kids in reality. There's been no mention of my brothers or sisters in this. So you can only show so much.
Gotcha. All right. People will be surprised to hear that we are talking about a show that is on WGN. Now, that's a network we all know. We all have it. But rarely has there been appointment viewing like this. Tell us about that.
Well, this is their first original scripted series, and they're trying to redevelop their brand. And it's
I'll tell you, it's getting harder and harder because we used to be able to count on these certain networks are the ones where you see new shows.
Right.
And now everybody's getting into it from Netflix to WGN to
cable just
FX.
Exploded.
Really
I mean,
did.
It really did. And I remember, you know, it's come a long way since The Sopranos. And there's so many, you know, networks out there. And, yeah, Netflix is a great example of just being something that you can actually see on your computer at home.
And AMC, remember when AMC used to just be movies?
Well, that's the thing. But see, AMC, you tuned in to watch American movie classics at the time.
Right.
History Channel now with Vikings, you tuned in to watch, you know, a tiger eat an antelope or something. You know,
want to win one of four invigorating vacation packages to Monterey? Take the Grab Life at the by the Moments Challenge and you could win. Visit cmonterey.com to enter. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Where am I grabbing life by again? What am I
doing? You're going to grab life by the challenge.
That's just not.
Or the moments?
Or by the moments
by
challenge.
By the moments challenge.
Whatever.
Okay. I think you did well.
You heard me.
No, I didn't. That's why I asked you what you said.
We heard you, but we don't speak Lisa anymore, apparently.
Lisa's now speaking Kevin, and I like it.
It's getting awfully manly in here with Shane West.
I appreciate it.
No. Shane West coming in and being all testosterone-y, and then he walks out with his ponytail, and then Taylor Hawkins walks in right after him. For coming up after the top of the hour. That's a lot of man right there.
It is a lot of man.
A lot of man.
Stay here, I think.
It's happening right now.
First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat in the girly segment of the show. What's going on, Ralph?
I think Bean's got a little excited for all the men who are coming into the station today.
Just saying, it's a little more macho than our show usually gets, that's all.
You know, just hanging out with Taylor just a touch in the office before I came in. The great thing about those guys, and girls the same way, is that they love music so much, and any kind of music. You can talk about all different kinds of music. They're just, they have this encyclopedic knowledge of rock and roll, especially, and it's just a pleasure to be around people who just love it, you know? So often here at the station, I won't name names, but you get people coming in, and they're sort of corporate confections, you know? They're created by labels or by a sound in a studio or something, and just there's very few players anymore in the industry. Guys who just love to play the music and write the music for the sake of the music rather than record sales and tours and that kind of stuff.
They did start the album with a 10 or 11 minute song. That's pretty strong.
Yeah,
you're just going, let's just rock for a while.
It's nice. It's just refreshing to have a conversation with someone about Joe Walsh, for example.
Who?
Yeah, that's what I figured. See, this is what I have to put up with every day, boys and girls. All right, let's talk about show business news. Speaking of successes, familiar with Linda Perry, the name Linda Perry? She is a singer-songwriter, one of the most successful songwriters of the past 20 years, easily. Has written, what'd you say, 100 top 10 hits?
I don't know. I mean, something like that. I mean, but it seems like every fourth or fifth song you hear on the radio, whether it's a Christina Aguilera, a Katy Perry, whoever, I mean, she just writes everything.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
She is sort of known as the quintessential writer for female pop stars. If you want a hit, you go to Linda Perry. If you're Katy Perry or Christina, as Bean mentioned, she had a band back in the day called Four Non Blondes, and they had a smash hit called What's Up?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, there's a little piece of it right there. Anyway, they're getting the band back together for one time only, a May 10th event at the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center. It's called An Evening with Women. Linda's been producing the annual event for years, and she got her former bandmates together to do a one-time reunion. Here's a little taste of that 1992 song they had, a hit song they had called What's Up.
Did say hey.
I always loved that song. Very interesting voice she had.
What's up?
There's another member of the band. So you can check them out if you want to go to the Gay and Lesbian Center on the 10th. This is interesting news. Now, it's being poo-pooed by their people, but sources are saying that Tom Cruise is now dating Laura Prepon from Orange is the New Black. And, of course, that 70s show. Now, they may be being put together in the press simply because they're both Scientologists.
And Tom is single?
And Tom is single, and Laura is single, as far as I know. So maybe that's why people are connecting them in the media, or maybe they actually are dating. But their representatives are denying that fact. In fact, Tom Cruise's people say that not only are they not romantically involved, they've never met.
Never met.
Never even met each other.
She doesn't even know that he is alive.
She has never seen a Tom Cruise movie. I find it hard that two high-profile showbiz Scientologists wouldn't have crossed paths at some time.
You would think so at the Hollywood Center at Christmas or whatever their big holiday is, right?
Right, or when they're doing that the vivisection where they take virgins and they slaughter them on the altar there and they,
right.
they bleed them out for their dark, dark masses or whatever
sure
happens.
And don't they raise money every year where you come and there's a car wash for their spaceship?
That's right. I mean, there's all these events you think they would have crossed paths, but they're saying no. However, several sources are saying it is indeed a relationship that is, in fact, challenging for Laura Prepon, not only as a woman, but as an actress, because she's never had to play a beard before.
Oh, zing! Whoa!
Hey.
That's how it's done,
That's
kids.
That's all humor, Tom Cruise's lawyer. It's just a joke, you see.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
No, he does not, Kevin. Stop. And not everybody has a wooden hand.
Really, no one does.
Lady Lauren.
She's a bitch.
Oh, come on.
That's Oprah.
The final episodes of her rehab documentary on the OWN network are airing this Sunday, a two-part finale. So if you're a fan of that show, why?
Why indeed.
But you may want to enjoy it Sunday because it looks like it won't be coming back. UK's Daily Mail is reporting that Oprah Winfrey is not interested in re-upping for another season of documenting Lindsay's life as she tries to get her ass back together. Word is, Oprah's tired about the stories and the tabloids about her falling off the wagon, and then there was that sex list that went public. By the way, Lindsay now is admitting to that list, saying it was hers.
Oh, she did make it. She made
did
the list.
Make it.
And it
she
was
says,
she...
however, yes, it was, and okay. She made it as a part of her personal inventory while she was in rehab.
Oh, well, how'd it get
part
out?
Of that process. She said when she was moving, apparently the crew for the Lindsay show was there, and she thinks maybe somebody saw it and took a picture of it, and that's how it got leaked to the press.
That sucks, by the way.
If
for
that
her.
Is true, then it is, really is horrible. What an invasion of privacy. You invite a crew into your home because you're doing this, you know, documentary project, and then they go through your stuff and send pictures out of it and stuff.
She's a bitch.
Oh, come on. I thought we were on her side there for a moment. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays on this April the 18th. James Woods is 67 years old today. He's great in everything he does, but how good was he in Ray Donovan, by the way, the final most recent season on Showtime?
Boy. And he's a super genius, right, Ralph?
Yeah.
He's one of those super Mensa guys.
He's got an IQ of like 170 or something, went to MIT.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wooden hand.
Does not have a wooden hand.
He does
hand.
Have a wooden hand. I have heard that, actually.
Rick Moranis from SCTV fame, and of course, Ghostbusters and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, 61 years old today. Eric Roberts is 58. Conan O'Brien turns 51. Eric McCormick, also 51 today. Maria Bello, lovely and talented actress, is 47. Did you ever see The Cooler with him and William H. Macy?
Oh, yeah.
That's a great film.
Love that. Anything about gambling.
David Tennant is 43 years old from Doctor Who and Broadchurch. Eli Roth and fellow director Edgar Wright, both having birthdays today. Melissa Joan Hart is 38. America Ferrera is 30. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley is 27. And Chloe Bennett, you know her as Sky from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Will someone get his bags, please? We're still waiting here in the lobby. She is 22 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You know who played drums on that song? Taylor Hawken.
Not.
Taylor Hawkins played. What?
No, that was, I did not play drums on that song.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was you. Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin DeBeach.
Jimmy Chamberlain, dude.
Taylor
that's right.
Hawkins is in the studio with us.
Yeah!
What's up, Taylor?
What is up, man?
How you been?
Really good. Really, 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 really good.
Why do you always play pizza parlors when you know that way more people want to see you than can possibly get in to see you at a pizza parlor?
Well, there's two reasons, really. Because,
let's talk about that. Tonight you're playing where?
Oh, I'm playing at Rock and Roll Pizza out in, I think it's Moore Park.
Okay.
That's right. It's
that,
sold out,
right?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, we sold it out, man.
We sold out the pizza joint.
We sold it out.
Why do you do it, though? Why do you torture your fans by basically appearing, doing a concert in a place where they cannot go?
Well, there's a couple reasons. For Foo Fighters, instance, in the Foo Fighters, it's just it brings you right down to the bottom, to the basics. You know, there's not a lot of room for gear, etc. There's just, it's going to sound like crap probably up on stage.
The fans are right there. The
fans are right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of helps to go back to high school
before you go back to college, before you
are those gigs more fun than playing, say, Wembley Stadium?
I find them more fun. I don't know if everybody else in my band does, and it ain't my band.
Let's talk about
Dave's band. Sorry, I said that.
Let's talk about which band we're talking about. Because
okay, we're talking about the Foo Fighters right now. I find them in a way more fun, but you know, it's just such a completely different experience. The thing I like about the small clubs is that, it purely on a musical level, I really enjoy it. I'm right next to everybody. Everybody's right next to me. We can really lock in. We can really kind of just be the bare essentials, basic what a rock band should be. And that's 5 or 4 or 3 or 10, whoever your band is, smelly, sweating dudes just jamming with each other. Or maybe you're lucky and you have a cute chick playing bass or something. not in any of my cases, but...
Taylor Hawkins is here on the Kevin DeBean Show because he had a new record just come out this past Tuesday from a latest band of his called The Birds of Satan. Now, this is you mostly with your Chevy Metal guys.
Yes, sir.
Under a new name doing original music.
Yeah. I've made a couple records with this band called The Coattail Riders, which was, mm-hmm. you know, great. And it was really fun. And we worked really hard on those records and produced the hell out of them and tried to make them sound like, you know, Queen Night at the Opera or like, you know, The Dark Side of the Moon or whatever, you know. And this band, I just really ran out of time. I like to make a record in between a Foo Fighter record because, you know, I like writing songs, you know, for better or for worse. I really do. And I like singing sometimes. I actually don't like singing, but I do. It's one of those kind of things. It's like bungee jumping, you know.
You don't like it, but once you've done it, you're happy?
If it's half decent, anyways, you know, and not always the results are not always the greatest, but it's there, you know, and I like to put something sort of, it's kind of like putting a stake in the ground for that time in my life. And, you know, I don't sell a lot of the records. I didn't sell a lot of Coattail Riders records. I probably won't sell a lot of these Birds of Satan records. That ain't really what it's about. It's kind of... But I, you know, when we're doing a Foo Fighters show, say, and I go back to the bus after we're done playing and we've all, you know, showered or whatever, you know, and I walk back to the bus, there's generally about 50 or 60 kids kind of standing behind the fence, you know, next to the bus, and they scream and they're
waiting
holding up
you.
Their records,
right.
And they want you to sign Color in the Shape or the last one, Wasting Light, whatever, or they want a picture or just their ticket stub. You know, we all know this, the drill. And so I'll go back there and I'll start signing those. And invariably, I'd say every sixth or seventh show, some kid will hold up a Coattail Riders record.
Is that right?
No way.
Yeah, and he'll go, you know, dude, I really like this record. Or a girl, I really like this record. And I really like track 5 because it's the drums on this, or et cetera, et cetera. You know, and that's like, that's totally enough affirmation. It really is. I mean, I don't do it for that reason, but when that happens,
it feels good. I'm sure
it feels good.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
it's nice when you connect with somebody. Little
connection, you know, and yeah, it's like I call it like my vacation homes. You know, it's like my gig is the Foo Fighters. I'm the luckiest guy in the world to be in a band with those talented dudes, especially Dave. And
he's kind of a dick, though, isn't he?
He's just kind of too good at everything, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, quit learning how to do good things. All right?
Hey,
stop.
I remember the very first time.
You're making us all look
bad. Yeah, yeah. Dude, trust me. I always tell people, you know, because I really do feel like I'm a humble person. I really don't feel like I have any ego.
You're the
whatsoever.
Best humble person in the world, though.
I know.
And the most humble.
But I do feel humble, you know, and I do feel like I have a low self-esteem. And, you know, when you're in a band with someone like Dave Grohl, you're just never going to get too big for your boots because you know there's some guy right in front of you who can do everything you're trying to do better.
Well, I just remember the very first time we had you in, Taylor, I remember asking you what it's like to slide behind the drum kit for freaking Dave Grohl when you're playing in his band. I mean, how do you not second guess every choice you make on the drums when you have one of the greatest rock and roll drummers of all time standing in front of you?
Well,
and that's, I mean, you obviously have confidence in your ability, and Dave loves the way you play, so it worked out great for you guys. But that must be intimidating sometimes.
It was, and it was a hard seat to get used to at first. And the first, you know, the first record I made with the guys, with Dave and the Foo Fighters, I only played drums on half the record. I wasn't confident. I was having issues. I wasn't used to the studio. And he held my hand through half of that record.
No kidding.
And he played drums through the other half. And he willed it. He willed me to do it because he loves me. And he knew he wanted me to be in this band. And he knew that we know that something happens when we're together on stage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That X factor. I you know, it just does, you know, and we're like long lost brothers, and in the same way with Nate. I love Nate Mendel, and I love Pat Smear, and I love Chris Shiflett, and something happens when we get up on stage. It's not the most beautiful noise always, but and sometimes but it's amazing happened. And sometimes when we're at our best, we can really touch that other world, you know.
Did you learn something on how to be a band leader of your own band, Birds of Satan, from the way Dave runs Foo Fighters?
Yeah, I would say I've just learned so much about music from him, just watching him. You know, I can go into a studio now and I can record a song all by myself now. I'm not saying it's going to be great.
What a big boy.
I'm a big boy now, and I've learned to do it all because of Dave. But it really is, because I would have never thought that you could even really do that, you know, or let alone me. And I'm really an amateur guitar player, an amateur piano player, and an amateur bass player, and I think an amateur singer. But that's not the point. I've watched him do it, and I've watched him do it quick. I've seen him put down an idea in a half an hour at an amazing rate, and it sounds like an awesome song. Maybe.
Well, Taylor, you are selling yourself short, because we have been spending all week listening to the Birds of Satan album, and we love it. And we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to come back. We're going to play some cuts from this. We want you to get a taste of what this Birds of Satan sounds like, because it is super fun. And again, the band is going to be playing at a show you can't go to tonight at Rock and Roll Pizza in Moore Park, so you got that going for you.
There may be some tickets left after we find out who's on the guest list and all that stuff. And just go hang out, man.
There you go.
Right. You know,
good advice from Taylor Huggins. Just go hang out.
Just go hang out, man.
We'll be right back with more in a minute right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Taylor Hawkins back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new band is called The Birds of Satan, and it is awesome. Let's play a little piece of that Ballad of the Birds of Satan, track one. Kevin, you have that for me?
Yep.
That's rock and roll, my friends, and I'm listening to that. I'm driving around yesterday. I'm listening to that. It was my second or third time through, and every time I hear it, I like it more. But I'm playing Spot the Influence on this record much, and that has got so much Black Sabbath in it, and I just love it, Taylor.
I love
so
it.
So awesome.
I thought it sounded grungy.
Why?
when I did that part, I remember, because I mean, I wrote these songs on the spot, so when I was doing the vocals, I'd be like, okay. I'm going to go in the bathroom for 5 minutes. I'll come out with a melody and some lyrics.
Really?
Seriously,
that's
dude.
That's a lot of pressure in the bathroom.
Is that the best way to make a record?
That's a lot of bathroom pressure.
It's the best way for me to make a record. I was always a crammer, man.
That
know?
Sounded a little Van Halen-ish to
I'll me. I'll take it. Okay. I'll take it. Right. I'll take
it. Why is it 10 minutes long? How is 10 minutes the right number for that song?
Well, we want it to be longer, actually. and Dave actually helped me write that song. He helped me write the music for it. And he came in the next day. I'm like, okay, let's do another song, because we only had him for 2 days. So we did like two or three songs with Dave.
And, go ahead.
And he said, I think we should just keep adding to that song. And we almost did. Because really we wanted it to be like kind of an album side. And like, you know, like an old Yes record or something like that. But we stopped.
Did you ever hear that song by Mo? You know the band Mo, that's kind of a jam band? They have a single that is 46 minutes long.
No.
One single that's 46 minutes long, yeah.
No, I haven't.
So match that, Taylor.
There's a song called Jerusalem by a band, and I forget who they were, and Dave was telling me about them, and I don't know. I forget who it was.
Dave, who was it?
Dave's not there. Dave's not here, man.
We do have a caller on the line, though, Kevin, named Missy, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show with a question for Taylor, I think. Hi, Missy.
Hi, this is Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah.
Taylor Hawkins is here.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm like your biggest fan. I have a question. I have a question. When you play live shows, like, the shows are so long, and how do you stay in shape for like those big, the long shows?
I know exactly who this is.
Like 3 hours long.
Dave, that is the worst.
like you're so strong, your arms and like you always have your shirt off.
You're such
a dick. You have the little nipples, like the tiny nipples, the little ones. With no hair or anything on it at all.
It's such a dick.
It's smooth. You have smooth skin.
You see what I have to deal with?
I do. How do you get anything done, Taylor?
You're sweaty and you're good looking, too. Not like, you know.
No, I'm not. You said I look like a midget, Dave.
He's got like horse mouth with the big horse teeth. So ugly.
So, Missy, so you'd like to get this Taylor alone. He's kind of a sexy beast, right?
He's amazing. I'm a number one fan.
Like, yeah, I don't
so
blame
much,
you.
But I see big. He's so strong.
Dude.
You're killing him. You're killing him right now. You're
killing me. I love you, baby. How are you?
I don't know what you're talking about. I would love to love you.
That's a disgusting sounding Missy, dude.
That really is
oh
nasty.
My God.
That is not.
Sorry, I have to go back to. I work at Walmart and Van Nuys, and so I just wanted to call say hello.
All right, Missy. Great to hear from you.
I love you, Missy. Thank you.
Okay, I love you too. See you later.
Okay. See you later.
I'll see you at the pizza restaurant. I can't wait.
I bet Missy's going to be there too. She's going to be waiting out front in the tube top, I bet.
Oh, God.
So that's how you. That's all your right. life. That's what you have to deal with.
Oh, dude. It's a tough room. I'm telling you, being in the Foo Fighters is a tough room.
I imagine.
Well, you can never, you have to sleep with one eye open because you can never imagine what might come happening to you next, right?
Yeah, the wicked, the rapist-like wit of Dave Grohl is always there.
Rapier. The word is rapier that you're looking for, not rapist.
It's not rapist. It's a very different thing.
Let's hear a couple more clips from Birds of Satan again. It's available everywhere now for download. Is there a physical release for this? Is there an MP3 only?
No, there's a physical release.
There is. You can actually buy it.
I think you can buy a CD on a website or something like that, Amazon or maybe
our website. Good information,
Taylor.
Maybe ours.
I don't know. There's vinyl. I think there's vinyl. Kids like vinyl now, man.
Yeah, there you go.
I love that.
It's record store day. You can do that.
What's up next, Kevin? Do you have a little bit of thanks for the line? Is that what's next?
I think
or piece of the puzzle?
Piece of
the puzzle. Oh, I love piece of the puzzle. That's my favorite. Let's hear it. In the middle of emotion, when I can't find my way out, I forget what it's all about.
Come on.
Now, the guitars in that is all Thin Lizzy, Taylor.
I'll take it.
Okay. Nothing but compliments here.
I love it. Everything you're saying is absolutely true. I said this in an interview. We are completely under the influence of all of our love. All of our loves. And I don't care. It's unabashed. That's a great thing about making a record like this.
I don't know how you wouldn't. I mean, if you like music, of course you're influenced
by
it.
I mean, some people are better at you know, sort of being original. I'm just not, I guess, you know. But I figure if I throw enough crap in the stew, you know, if you mixed like a birthday cake and like, you know, with bacon and then put some hollandaise sauce on top, and it's not going to taste like a birthday cake anymore. But really, it's a birthday cake.
What are the plans for Birds of Satan?
Do you understand?
I'm going to go back to that later and see if I can figure that one out. Right.
What is your plan for this? Is this a one off? You make the record, do a couple shows, and it's done, or is this going to be an ongoing concern that you'd like to tour with, or what do you want to do?
Well, I don't know yet. You know, to be thoroughly honest, because we're gonna do a TV show. I think we're gonna do Kimmel. And
awesome.
Which is great. He's a super cool
guy,
and he's got a rad show. And I'm not sure exactly when we're working out those dates. I'd like to do some shows. You know, the good thing about this project, I hate that word project, it's so lame, but is it really is essentially Chevy Metal. And Chevy Metal's always playing, you know. So we'll always play. And yes, it's pizza places. And yes, it's you know, corner bars, et cetera, et cetera. But we like that. That's fun. And I like doing that. And now the people who come see Chevy Metal are generally Foo Fighter fans for the most part. So they're generally, if they're, you know, got enough time on their hands to come see Chevy Metal, they're probably going to be familiar with some of this record.
Yeah.
And so now we can just like pepper it in the set. You know, I won't be like, it's a Birds of Satan show because, first of all, we have 7 songs.
It's going to be a short show. But
it's going to be a short show.
You can jam on that first one for 46 minutes.
Yeah, I know. We just recorded a B-side, actually, and I'm lucky enough, I got Steve Perkins from Jane's Addiction to play drums.
Wow.
And then my buddy Chris Cheney, who plays bass in Jane's Addiction, came in and played some freaky like Moog synthesizer. It sounds like Children of the Sun by Billy Thorpe.
And you have Pat Smear in awesome. This?
Yeah, Pat Smear's Too Far Gone to See, which was and you know, he just channeled his best sort of Alice Cooper guitar playing for that. And yeah, man.
It sounds awesome. It sounds like you're really enjoying yourself, and that's cool.
I really am, you know.
I have one more clip. It's called Too Far Gone to See.
That's the Alice Cooper-y one that pads it. I think it's up to you, because it's not up to me. Is it really true?
Are you too far gone to see? This is really awesome.
You know what me and Dave...
Missy, you mean?
You know what me and Missy... Because I... You know, my voice... Of course I hear my voice and I'm like, I suck. Why am I doing this? This is so stupid. But I said it was thin and wispy.
Uh-huh.
So we thought we would...
Thin and wispy it up?
We thought we'd have a band called Thin Wispy.
I like
that. That does Thin Lizzy songs.
I like it.
And all the songs like...
Cover band?
Those songs like, the boys are back in town.
All breathy.
Thin and wispy. We have so many great ideas for cover
Check
bands.
Check out Thin Wispy next week at the pizza place.
Yeah.
Hey, Taylor, before we let you go, I read you're about halfway through the new Foos record. Is that accurate? Does that sound right?
Who said that?
Just a thing.
He read it.
Said it, first of all.
I know. I saw that this morning because, you know, I was checking out what they're saying because I'm self-centered.
Does that sound about right, though?
I think I do. I mean, listen, here's been my stock answer, and I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
We're doing something really rad because, you know, as we all know, Dave's got a trillion ideas, and he's directing movies and writing plays and conducting symphonies.
Crank calling radio interviews.
Conducting symphonies and crank calling interviews and doing a mural somewhere tomorrow.
Sure.
But once again, he's got a great idea. And as a band, because all I care about in the band is playing, because I leave all the concepts to him and the songs, really. And I just try and do a good job. And sitting driving the bus of this band right now is never been like this. There's something that like a sort of confidence and an ability that we have right now as a band. And I'm talking as a live rock and roll band, five guys that can go in a room, plug in. We know the song. We can get it down.
Yeah.
We can get it down without click track. We can get it down without pro. We can get it down without anything. And that's the essence of rock and roll to me is like five dudes that get it down and it's raw and it's awesome and it's beautiful and it's dirty. And we sound like that right now. It's just, we sound better than we ever have.
I don't want to be contrary here, but the Beatles only needed four guys.
Well, trust me. I know. And that's the point. I mean, that's the thing that I think in a way where I was going for with this Birds of Satan, which was recorded in a week. And what I'm talking about is that magic that five or four or three guys that can get, which is beautiful and messy and all of those great things, which is rock and roll, you know?
That's right.
And we're not talking about alternative.
Taylor Hawkins, ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States of America. Come on.
Taylor, A, is the best. B, is a great musician. And C, he's got pretty low self-esteem.
All of those things are true.
What a complex character, huh?
Which means chicks, you could probably get them.
Yeah. You have to fight my wife first, and she's tough.
We are out of time, Taylor. I'm so sorry to say. But, man, I'm glad you came by. Really, congratulations on the record to you and the guys. So much fun. Please, let's do it again soon.
I love you guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Pick up Birds of Satan. Do it.
Kevin blow hums the hits.
I wish I could whistle.
So do we.
That'd be cool. Taylor Hawkins is the coolest.
He is.
Yeah.
Just want to say that. So we'll get that out of the way, and then we can move on with the showbiz beat.
They got a lot of drummers playing on that record, guests and whatnot, Ralph. Maybe it's time for you to get behind the skins, be on the Birds of Satan tour a little bit.
They can't afford me.
Yeah, that's probably true.
A little operation like that.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, things are going on.
Thanks for stopping by.
All right, I got to go.
In particular...
Gwyneth Paltrow versus Joan Rivers. Oh, who do you root for in that fight?
Wow, you hope for mutual destruction.
It's like, oh, Hitler versus Pol Pot.
Maybe they could destroy each other. That would be awesome.
Big cat fight going on because apparently Joan Rivers
went off on Gwyneth Paltrow on that Watch What Happens Live show on Bravo when she said, Gwyneth Paltrow can't sit down because she's got a stick up her butt. Come on. Can you try to be funny?
She hasn't tried to be funny in 30 years.
I disagree. I think she's desperately tried to be funny for the past 30 years.
How dare you?
Failed miserably.
How dare you say that? How stupid can somebody say that? Son of a bitch.
Joan went into Kevin mode there for a minute. Wait,
look.
I find that despicable. I find that disgusting. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
Then she said Gwyneth Paltrow was voted the world's most beautiful woman by Helen Keller and Stevie Wonder.
No, she didn't.
She did.
Come
she
on!
Did. Said that. But I'm going to tell you. And Gwyneth Paltrow told Harper's Bazaar magazine last year that she had a bad experience with Botox and ended up looking like Joan Rivers.
Wow, this is two people we hate fighting it out.
Yeah, horribly. Not in any
poorly.
Entertaining fashion whatsoever. So don't invite them to the same party. Damn it. I was going to invite them to my party of death.
Everybody gets the room shot.
Yes. Katy Perry's got a new boyfriend, if you believe RadarOnline.com. She and Diplo hooked up at the Coachella Music Valley Music Festival last weekend. Apparently, his friends are concerned for Katy, however, because Diplo has a history of anger management issues. And also has been arrested for shoplifting, trespassing, and graffiti, so it's bad news. Don't get mixed up with the bad boy, they warned Katy. She doesn't care.
She doesn't play by anybody else's rules.
She's reckless. Tori Spelling, she fell in love with a bad boy. Dean McDermott, her husband, who was busted cheating on her with about 400 people.
What?
Really?
Yeah. You didn't hear about this? It was
no.
A big thing. Oh, yeah. He was caught cheating. He had like three other girlfriends, or blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
She complains to Us Weekly magazine that her husband was her soulmate, but he completely broke her heart. And she said the end of the situation now has made her not trust anything or anyone. And fans can watch the drama unfold in her new docuseries, True Tory, which is set to debut next Tuesday on Lifetime.
At least if you're going to cheat on your husband, which she did when she met him cheating on his wife, at least if those are going to be the choices you make, have four kids with that guy before he cheats on you again.
I think it's an excellent
That's
idea.
What they did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So she's heartbroken and she's shattered.
But they are still together. They are trying to make it work.
Still
apparently.
Together, and you can watch it all unfold on my new docuseries, True Tory.
It's all she does.
Glad she's able to turn her personal tragedy into a sales opportunity for a new show. Okay, I'm tired. I'm going home. Today's celebrity birthday is James Woods is 67 years old today. Actor Rick Moranis celebrates his 61st birthday. Rick is starting to creep back into show business. I'm very happy to see this trend. He's got a new album out now. Looks
That's
like
right.
He's getting ready. He might be open to acting opportunities. I'd like to see him on the screen again. Eric Roberts is 58. Conan O'Brien?
I believe it's Conan O'Brien.
Oh, what?
Late night talk show host?
That's right. 51 years old today. Eric McCormick is 51 years old. Maria Bello celebrates her 47th birthday. David Tennant, one of my favorite Doctor Who's of all time, 43 years old. Eli Roth is 42. His fellow director Edgar Wright celebrates his 40th birthday today. Melissa Joan Hart's 38. America Ferrera is 30 years old. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley celebrates her 27th birthday. And Chloe Bennett, you know her from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or what used to be S.H.I.E.L.D. Now who knows? Hail Hydra. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy Coachella if you're out going out there. If not, you can watch it on YouTube again this weekend.
No Chella.
Run!
That's what I said.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Monday we have Brooklyn Decker.
Pass it over to me.
I mean.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is for all the Tostitos.
Roll another one.
So, you guys keeping this party going?
Just like the other one.
Open up a blog.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hey, everybody, here comes the choo-choo.
And the
joint?
No, not on you, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Roll.
Hey, Kevin, want to talk about your situation?
Just like the other one.
These gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
Seems to go out tonight.
Are you serious?
I don't have another cent.
What? You're a disc jockey? What's that?
That's not what you want.
Just pass it around.
Would not want to be his nutsack.
Tell me you're not serious.
Everybody still awake? All right, big finish. Giddy up, baby! Goodbye!
Why are you still here?
We're done. Do you get that?
Yes.
Do you get that?
Yes.
Then why are you here?
Sir, for a dollar, name a celeb...
out my way.
Okay, have a very lovely day, and I hope you enjoyed the Lego Movie out on Blu-ray soon.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Brought to you by people who...